I've had a lot of thought about this. Does this change anything for the Leafs? When you'd go into meetings, if you're running the Leafs, you're Brendan Shanahan, just in terms of merchandise, everywhere you look, it's Raptors. I don't think there's any more pressure than they put on themselves to have a big year next year. And God, we talked this year and said, hey, guess what team really needs to win a round in the playoffs? The Leafs. It doesn't change much for next fall because another team in your ownership cluster wins an NBA title, does it?
Well, first, they have to win one.
I know.
But second, no, it doesn't change anything. The pressure in that line of work, in our line of work, what I used to do is the pressure's constant and unrelenting. Doesn't matter what market you're in. Your owner at the start of the year turns to you and says, when are we going to win? So it doesn't change. It might change the spending habits of some of your customer base, but no, doesn't change anything.
Okay, so we'll get to the final tonight. I'm fascinated to get your thoughts on an up-and-down series. All the Blues series have really been up and down, but wanted to ask about I know the competition committee talked about rules and some tweaks and even the tiebreaker rule. I know I had a conversation with you a long time ago. There's a good reason why the league and a lot of the GMs and governors don't want to go and change the point format. What's the biggest lay out for our listeners? What the biggest reason is that people want to keep the points the way they are instead of, say, like making every game worth 3 points and you split it accordingly, whether it goes to overtime or not. Tell us why.
Well, they went to the 3 points for a regulation win in one of the leagues, the soccer leagues in Germany. And I read an exhaustive statistical analysis of it years ago, and they said it had no impact. Like, the players want to win in regulation. Mm-hmm. They understand that overtime is risky. The other team could get a point. They understand they can get to the bar quicker. They understand they could get hurt. So they want to win in regulation just the same. So the notion that you would give 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for an overtime win, and so on, that has no currency with the NHL. Those points, the current system keeps teams close, and that's important. If you're a marginal team, you know, not like the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're a good team, they're a playoff team, but if you're a marginal team, that keeps you in the race until February or March.
They're going to certainly expand video review at this point, and it seems as though they're going to give the officials the authority to review things on their own accord. Is this the right way to go as opposed to leaving it up to the coaches to have a challenge and say they're incorrect about their challenge, they get a penalty? Do you prefer the officials to be the ones to call for the review?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Ashley. When we put video review in, we wanted the referees calling the game to have the review capability in the penalty box on a tablet. Mm-hmm. We did not want Toronto making the call. Then we got some wildly inconsistent results, and we said, no, we'll let Toronto make the call. I think what they're talking about from the competition committee, and obviously this hasn't gone to the GMs yet, so I'm curious what the GMs think of this before. You know, the way rules are changed is the competition committee has a lot to say, the GMs have a lot to say, and then it goes to the Board of Governors. Mm-hmm. But I'll be curious. I think what they're talking about here is, I'm hoping, because I've only seen what you've seen is the newspaper reports, and I hope that a referee who's about to call a major penalty or a match penalty can review it in the penalty box. So the Cody Eakins call, the Phantom call in the Vegas series, he said he would skate to the box and say, I've got a major, I've got a nickel, 5-minute penalty, I want to look at it. So no Toronto review, he looks at it, and he can only take it down. He can't take it up. He can't say, I've got a minor penalty, I want to look at it. That's not allowed. But if he's going to assess a major, he can review it himself before he does that. And I think 9 times out of 10, he's going to back up his own call. He's going to say, yep, that's a major. But to avoid what happened in the Vegas game, he can take it down if he wants to.
We're also seeing, and I bet you if a GM thinks my player, they missed a call on my player who did something egregious, I'd point to Charlie McAvoy at the end of the Columbus series. I think sometimes in the playoffs, Brian, players are getting suspended for entire next games because a call was a 2 instead of a 5 or nothing instead of a 5 in a game that might have 9 minutes left. And the GM would be like, I wish you'd got the call right. You wouldn't have suspended him and felt like it was payback, right?
Right, but I am not in favor of a referee being able to take a call up on review, just down.
Okay.
In other words, if he calls McAvoy for a major and then looks at it and says, well, it's not really a major, I'm going to take it down, I'm not in favor of him saying, well, TZ got him in the head. I got him for a two, but I want to look at it. I'm not in favor of that.
So it's,
I'd rather that we want to keep hitting in the game. So if they're going to make mistakes, we want to make it on the side of hitting.
So it's a little like you can't have, we can't have Bruce Cassidy, sorry, I would say Mike Babcock in this case. Let's take the Kadri DeBrusk incident, and you can't have Mike Babcock say, that's fine, but I also, I want two on DeBrusk for interfering with Patrick Marleau 2 seconds before. That gets us into a really gray area. Not only does it slow everything down, it's a really gray area, penalty, not a penalty, right?
Yes, and I'm not in favor, for example. People are saying they have to review the other night when Tyler Bozak was not called for a trip. That has to be reviewable. I'm not in favor of that at all. That's a discretion call. You've got a veteran official standing there looking at it. He deems it an error, in my opinion. I thought he should have called a penalty, but he deems it's not worthy of a penalty. Play on. I'm not in favor of replacing the referee's discretion.
Tell us about Tyler. This would put a real smile on your face, wouldn't it? You found him, you and your staff found him out of college. He got passed over in the draft, not obviously once, but a couple different times. And proved a lot of people wrong. There were people that watched him play. I might have been one that said, I don't think that guy can play top six in the NHL, even if you give him Phil Kessel and Joffrey Leupold. He shut a lot of people up. He made a lot of scouts look silly for passing him over. Tell us how you'd feel for Tyler Bozak lifting the Stanley Cup tonight.
Well, I don't think they're going to lift the Stanley Cup tonight, but I'm really happy that he's playing in the finals. I think Boston's going to win. I think they've got the edge here. I think St. Louis made a big mistake not winning the cup at home. And I think Boston's going to win it tonight. And it'd be a great story if St. Louis does for lots of reasons. And one of them is Tyler Bozak. It'd be great to see him skate around with the cup. Great kid. Had a great career here in Toronto. Regina kid. And, the Leafs went to great trouble to sign him. So I'm happy for him.
Why do you seem to be exceptionally convinced that it's going to be Boston? Is it just the experience? I know there's a lot of reasons. They're experienced. They're a tough team. Tuukka Rask is playing fantastically, but is there no chance for the Blues, in your opinion?
Well, of course there's a chance. I don't like predictions. I'm not good at them. But to me, you got to call a game seven. You don't have a choice. If you work in television, someone's going to ask you. I think Boston will win for all of the reasons you just said, Ashley, in terms of experience. The players they have, the goaltender. But I think St. Louis has had an amazing run, and it would be no surprise if they win. I think they had their chance to do it at home.
Tell us about the draft next week before we move along. What expectation is Hughes number one? Is this considered a deep draft compared to prior years? Is it very top-heavy with a really, what I've seen, a very good top three, and then 4 to 10, you're throwing darts at times. You're throwing darts 4 to 30 at times in some drafts.
Yeah, no, it's a good draft. It's top heavy, but it's deep too. It's there's a couple, we call them ledges. So there's two players, Kaapo Kakko and Jack Hughes, and then there's a ledge, and then there's six more players, and then there's a ledge, and so on. Teams have different ledges or whatever they call it, groups. But it's a really good group. There's players at every position that are available. Different sizes, different skill levels. Like, it's exciting. And I think the one thing about this draft is the teams that draft between 20 and 30, the players are really interchangeable at that point. So I think you'll see a lot of movement of picks. I think teams are going to be very willing to trade their picks and move down a bit, thinking they'll get the same player five spots later that they will with the pick they have.
It's next week, 7:30 on Friday night, round one, a masterstroke by the NHL to go into primetime. They did it before the NFL did it. I want to ask you about Patrick Marleau, because we haven't gotten a chance to. Our show hasn't. Are you surprised that that this has transpired? And what's your theory as to the genesis? Is this Marleau going and saying, I can't believe a player would go and say, hey, I'm holding you back. Is this a chance for the organization? This is a proud player, a future Hall of Famer. Why do you think he won't play in Toronto next year if he doesn't?
Well, it's all cap related if he doesn't. I mean, it's that simple. He is a quality guy. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. I haven't studied his statistics, and I'm on the selection committee. So whenever people talk about that, I'm pretty careful.
That's true. Yep.
But he's had a great career. He's a proud player. There's a couple issues here. One is, when you go to sign a free agent, all right, so you go to sign Patrick Marleau 2 years ago, you're very careful how you treat that player because other free agents take note. So if you want to sign Brian Burke, who's a top free agent in 2 years, and you've scuffled with this guy that you signed, this proud player with a great career, say, Brian Burke says, whoa, Look what they did to Marlowe. You know, they gave him a 3-year deal, no trade, no move, and then they moved heaven and earth to get rid of him. I'm not going to Toronto. So they got to be careful how they treat this guy. That's an issue. He's got to be treated with respect because that's how things are done in our league with veteran players. Mm-hmm. But he's a problem. This contract is a problem. Patrick Marlowe is not. This contract is a problem for the Leafs. They're in salary cap hell. A lot of it's self-inflicted. But if they can find a way to move Patrick Marlowe, that's going to help a lot.
So you think that this is Toronto going to him saying, listen, we need you to kind of bite the bullet on this one. And is there a couple teams that you're willing to waive your no trade clause to? Or do you think this is Marlowe going to the team saying, listen, I know the scrutiny that I'm under here. I want to be able to contribute more to a team going forward. Can you try and find a way to move me? Like, who's initiating this conversation?
My guess is the Leafs, but I don't know. I haven't asked. I saw Brendan Shanahan last night. I did not ask him that question. I will tell you, I should mention this. I was at a screening of the Russian Five, the documentary about the five Russian players that went to the Detroit Red Wings last night. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard it's great. How was David Amber as MC?
Excellent. He did a great job.
Do you get popcorn and do you layer your butter?
I don't know because someone served me the popcorn, but it was buttered, and they had a bar there. It was a great movie theater.
Yeah, that's nice when it's the VIP get a little wine situation.
Yeah. Well, you told us a great Miracle on Ice story, but this is the second generation. This is, you know, a couple Green Line guys in Igor and Slava. What surprised you from the movie? Because it is an amazing story. Smuggling Sergei Fedorov out from the Goodwill Games in Seattle. So many political layers of intrigue to the story.
Well, the story, the kind of cool part is, or I knew this before, so it wasn't a revelation, but Keith Gabe was a guy that covered the Detroit Red Wings for the Detroit Free Press, a columnist and a good one, like a guy who really loved reading. It turns out he's a CIA guy or worked somehow, speaks Russian and worked for the U.S. government in some spy capacity. He was a key player in this, and I'd heard that before. But to hear him interviewed in the film and the documentary and to hear his version of how he approached the players and so on was fascinating.